At WakeMed MyCare 365, we deliver convenience others only talk about every day of the year. Primary care and urgent care under one roof. Multiple locations, virtual visits, walk-in or schedule an appointment online. From annual physicals and routine care to sinus infection, strep, or the flu, we couldn't be more convenient. Learn more about our kind of care and our kind of convenience at wakemed.org.
Carolina coach Roy Williams gives his team a very unique pregame pep talk before the Tar Heels face NC State.
He said he'd rather beat State than eat.
The result, a very hungry Carolina team simply imposes its will on the Pack, smothering State on defense during an eyebrow-raising 32-2 first-half run. And as for Coach Williams' pledge not to eat if the Tar Heels didn't win...
I mean, you can have my sandwich.
Roy Williams was quick with names and good with a whistle. The story of how he made it to the top with two of the blue blood programs in college basketball has been told. But not like this, and not with this type of honesty and insight from that dadgum legend himself. Now, the Roy That Dadgum Legend podcast.
How do you condense 68 years of ACC basketball and the Triangle's value to the conference into 4 minutes? Let me try. Everett Case and NC State had the first national power in the ACC. The Wolfpack won the ACC tournament the first 3 years and four of the first six it was played. UNC won the league's first national title in 1957, beating Wilt Chamberlain in Kansas in the process. 4 years later, a former Kansas player, Dean Smith, took over the UNC program and began the process of establishing Carolina as the league's best. The Tar Heels hit a roadblock when David Thompson and Tommy Burleson swung the power in the league back to NC State's favor in the early 1970s. Duke had their run in the 1960s under Vic Bubas, but by 1980, Smith was still going strong, but looking for his first NCAA title. Duke had hired a coach from Army, whose name no one could pronounce. NC State had hired a coach from Iona, who had a personality big enough to create March Madness. Smith got his first NCAA title in 1982. The next year, that NC State coach, Jim Valvano, followed with one of his own. Duke was still struggling under the coach with the funny last name and all the consonants. That is, until Mike Krzyzewski, KRZYZEWSKI, broke through in 1986 for the first of his 12 Final Four trips. By 1987, you have to understand this in the triangle. The ACC title count was UNC 10, NC State 10, Duke 7. The NCAA title count was UNC 2, NC State 2, Duke 0. Over the next three decades, Coach K would completely change the dynamics in the triangle. It was Dean Smith who ran the ACC. That was usurped by Krzyzewski and Duke. And with that, the big rivalry in the league, fueled by both Duke's rise and the advent of ESPN, which was really the first true promotional vehicle for college basketball, it was then the Battle of the Blues. It was the Tar Heels and the Blue Devils. Consider now, the ACC title count is Duke, 21, UNC, 18, and NC State still at 10. The NCAA title count is UNC, 6, Duke, 5, and NC State still at 2. In most everyone's eyes, the Duke rivalry and all of the fanfare that goes with it is all that matters. To Roy Williams, though, there's still a big part of him that remembers being a student at UNC when NC State was ruling the league in the 70s, and his friends would give him a hard time about Smith's, until that point, fruitless pursuit of an NCAA title. As you learned in Episode 1, Williams played a small but key part in helping Smith land super recruit Phil Ford, who truly swung the balance of power in the ACC back to the Tar Heels by the end of the 70s. But Williams would never let the old blood with NC State go. He once said, "I'd rather beat State than eat." His career record against the Wolfpack, 38-5 if you include 5 wins he had with Kansas, is proof that Williams never had to go hungry.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What was the Duke-Carolina rivalry like when you were an assistant for Coach Smith?
Well, you got to understand, for those 10 years, it was Duke at the end, and it was perhaps Duke for a year at the first. Because they, what was it, 78, they went to the Final Four. So 78, 79, I think, was my first year. But then all of a sudden, it was State, and it was Virginia. And so it wasn't just Duke. And so to me, Duke was 10 miles away, and we needed to beat those guys, but it was no different than State and Virginia. And in fact, in 83, I did not want State to win. I wanted Virginia to win.
That's shocking.
Yeah, really. But and so Eddie and Coach Guthridge, they were disagreeing with me. I said, no. I said, guys, we already know Ralph is at Virginia. So we know that they're going to be there. We know we got to beat them. So the more success State has, that means they're going to be up there too. It could have been reverse. If Ralph had been at State, I would have been pulling for State. I didn't want somebody else up there. But that was the whole thing. During my 10 years, it was Duke and it was State and it was Virginia and us. And, you know, think about this, guys. They were only, well, my gosh, I think it was my first year, first or second year. They were only seven teams in the league. That's the reason the league is just so overwhelming now, because it's 15. I saw the schedule yesterday. We don't play Virginia twice this year. We don't play Florida State twice this year. You know, and when I first started, we could have played everybody three times, you know, because there were only six other teams. I mean, we did have one year. There were only seven teams in the ACC. And so I was always just looking at our perspective. Let's keep us up here, and let's try to make sure there's nobody else up there. And if they are there, let's make sure they don't go past us. And so that was the reason that I was pulling for Virginia to beat State. I didn't want somebody else up there with us. And the first year when Bill Foster was there and they'd just gone to the Final Four in 78, that was still a big-time thing. And then 3 or 4 years there, it wasn't as big. And then all of a sudden, Michael got it there. And 86, I guess, is the first time they went to the Final Four. And then it was more Duke. We didn't even think about NC State at that time.
Have you ever had an older States fan come to you and thank you for at least still caring about the rivalry?
I've had some this summer thank me for leaving. You know,
I would imagine. But I've argued that you were actually the last connection to what it was for a lot of the older audience.
And I believe that too. I really did. I wanted State to be a huge game for us because you guys and the national media were going to make Duke 10 times bigger than any other game. And I didn't think at North Carolina we could afford to have that just be Duke, because we still got to beat those guys in Raleigh too. And so I intentionally made it bigger for me, but I didn't have to work very hard to do it. I mean, it was pretty easy to do that. But the same kind of thing. But I mean, you're thinking now, okay, well, what about Florida State? Well, what about Virginia? Well, what about Duke? I mean, it's a whole different league now than it was during those days.
And your dislike of State goes back to when you were actually in school.
Very
because
much so.
At that time, Coach Smith hadn't won a championship yet.
Right.
And either your friends from where you grew up or when you were here in Chapel Hill had given you a hard time? The State fans that.
Oh, yeah. I remember going to my sophomore year, going to the game at State with a high school buddy of mine who was a student at State. He says, you're going to get us killed here. You need to shut up. But Charlie goes crazy at the end and makes five or six, or I don't know how many. I just remember big rainbows all of a sudden going through the bottom of the net, and the crowd had been on my butt the whole time because I was standing up clapping when we did something, and so I sort of got back at them, and my buddy says, you got to shut up. They're going to kill us. We got to get out of here. But that had something to do with it. My friends, when I was a freshman in high school, I was the only freshman to make the varsity baseball team. And we had some of those guys that ended up going to State. Some of the senior basketball players went to State. I think there's three or four of those guys. And they were on me all the time because I was pulling for Carolina. And so then when I played as a freshman here, and we go over there, and three or four of those guys came to the game, and they stay and watch the varsity game. And, you know, so there was a little competition going on there. And I didn't like some of the things that at that time the State crowd had yelled at Charlie. And so that always stuck in the back of my mind. And then when I came back as an assistant coach, I felt like, okay, guys, let's make sure that we beat those guys.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Respect. That word consistently comes up when Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski are asked about their respective programs at North Carolina and Duke. Yes, these guys are competitors. Yes, they absolutely want to beat the other guy when their teams meet up on the court. But when you spend that amount of time in the rarefied air together, each one taking the Heels and the Devils to Final Fours and winning a combined five national titles between 2005 and 2017, you're not left with much of a choice other than to respect the other guy. Jeff Capel, now the head coach at Pitt, has a truly unique perspective on those rivalry dynamics and the culture around coaching. Capel played four seasons for Coach K in the mid-90s. He will forever be associated with one of the greatest moments in the Duke-Carolina rivalry, thanks to sinking a buzzer beater at the end of regulation to send the game to overtime in 1995. Trust me, you have seen that clip. Capel's younger brother, Jason, started in all four seasons for North Carolina between 1998 and 2002, including a trip to the Final Four in 2000. In 2011, Capel joined K's staff as part of a program overhaul and was eventually elevated to associate head coach in 2014. While K gets plenty of attention, and deservedly so, a good chunk of us in the Triangle associate Duke's recruiting turnaround during that time, much to the consternation of UNC fans, with Capel. All of this is to say, if anyone truly gets this dynamic, Capel is on the short list.
Well, I think it really, in my opinion, I think there's always been respect. There's always been respect between the programs. Now, respect and like are very, very different. Certainly when Coach got there in the 80s, you know, he was chasing Coach Smith and Coach Valvano. And you have the private school, which is Duke, small. And then you have these two massive public schools. You have Coach Smith, who was, you know, the man Coach, at the time. And then you have this big, brash personality in Valvano, who comes there and I think it's his third year, wins the championship. So that's what Coach was constantly chasing. I think that Coach gained even greater respect for Coach Smith once Coach Smith retired. Because I think he understood Coach Smith more because he basically became that guy. He became the guy that everybody hated. Yeah. When I say the other coaches in the league,
they
were coming after him. And so he became that. And so I think maybe because he experienced that I think when Coach Williams came in the league, I think that the respect between them was always there, but at a greater level, because I think Coach could understand now what it means to be the guy. And the coach at Duke and Carolina they're going to be the guys because those are the two premier programs in this league.
At the 2021 ACC tip-off, which is the conference's big media day to begin the hype for a new season, every coach not named Roy Williams or Mike Krzyzewski was asked about Roy Williams and Mike Krzyzewski. What did it mean for the state of the ACC? Who would be the next larger-than-life personality to represent college basketball like these guys? When will these types of questions end? Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray, one of the most likable coaches in the ACC, jokingly told me and Gilio, yeah, I told them don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. Look, when you have the programs that folks are chasing, that word respect comes back up. Respect is also gained when time passes, and perspective is gained, which is something that Krzyzewski explained to us ahead of his final season at Duke.
You mentioned your relationship with Dean and how that changed, and then right. obviously with Roy, it was a different type of, I think, right. just a pure mutual respect.
Right away.
How do you think that kind of changed the dynamic between the two schools? I know, obviously, there are still Carolina fans who don't like you. This is breaking news to you.
No, and by the way, there are people that you're okay with them not liking
sure,
you.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's I'm okay with that.
But it doesn't feel like Auburn and Alabama or the Yankees and Red Sox. It feels like a different type of rivalry.
Yeah, I think it is, and but it's still the best one. It's not toxic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's not toxic, and it shouldn't be because of the excellence of the two schools and the continuity of excellence of the programs. I mean, it's withstood the test of time. You know, it's maintained its level. It's still a Broadway hit, you know, no matter who's coaching hopefully with Hubert and then with John, we can continue that because I think it's still one of the treasures of our sport. I know there's Duke Carolina in all sports, but Duke Carolina basketball, men's basketball is just a cut above. It's just a cut above. And Roy and I always knew that. We always knew it. And I learned what it was more like to be Dean as a result of our... And that's where we developed a very close relationship, which I treasure because I could see why they have such an amazing program and why his guys were so darn and still are so darn loyal to him and the program.
Have you ever had a conversation with Mike Krzyzewski where you kind of poked him about how the dynamic changed from him looking at Coach Smith saying, this guy gets away with everything, where he kind of morphed into that same person that he kind of railed against when he first got in the league?
No, never even considered it.
Okay.
Because I didn't really care. I mean, it was just I was going to do my job, and if I did my job and if we were successful, frankly, my dear –
You didn't care.
Didn't care. And I had total respect and still do, always did. And genuinely like Mike.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I'm not going to waste my time. You know, it's the Rick Barnes, Coach Smith thing. I mean, Rick's one of my great friends. Mm-hmm. I said, so I'm at Kansas, he's at Texas. I said, tell me what happened. And he tells me what happened. I said, okay. You know, it was no big deal. It was just, I remember saying something to Norm Stewart one time during a game. When I was an assistant in St. Louis, and we played them in St. Louis, we played them in Hawaii, we played them in Greensboro. I thought we were in the same league for 4 or 5 years there. And so I wrote him a little short little note, handwritten note, and then apologized. He sent me a note back and said, as you get older, you'll find out during games, nobody remembers what was said. Just don't worry about it. And we had a vicious relationship on the court. And I loved him off the court. But I really tried to never get too much involved in all that junk.
Is that respect, and you said that you like Mike, there's a portion of your fan base that doesn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
And what, because now we think of Duke and Carolina as this respectful rivalry, Alabama and Auburn, which is
not
like,
kill
you
each
know,
other.
Yeah. But obviously that's an unfair criticism of you, but you understand that,
oh,
right?
Yeah. No, I have no problem with that. But mine is, I feel exactly like they do during the game because I want to beat him to death. but it's still a game. Mm-hmm. And I have total respect for what he's done. And, I mean, you know, that run they had there for several years was awesome. And he still, I mean, they could win it again this year. You know, I mean, it's, he doesn't need me to validate his team. But, no, it's I wanted to beat them badly. But, again, I didn't want it to be just about Duke, because then you let somebody else slip up on you. And I wanted it to be, let's focus on who we're playing tomorrow. And we know we got to beat them, but we also know how hard, I mean, we haven't had much success beating them in recruiting. And that was something that was harder for me to take probably than games, because we did okay in some of the games.
For your fans, for your the UNC fans that are holding out, would you like to tell them that you'd rather beat Duke than eat? Just so they have the soundbite for both.
Yeah.
Both
schools. Oh, there's no question. If you gave me a chance of beating Duke or eating, I'd much rather beat Duke. God almighty. You know, I guess you could survive for a month without eating or something, couldn't you?
Did you come up with that line yourself in that press conference about State?
No, it just came out of nowhere. Yeah, I do think a lot before I say some things, but some things just come out of outer space, and I just live with them.
As you now are in retirement, how is, fans might not know this, we might not even know this, what is the dynamic with coaches once you get out of coaching?
You know, I don't know yet.
Because it's a fraternity. There's only so many of you.
Yeah, I mean, last night I was in Winston-Salem roasting Dave Odom. And I'm the world's worst, you know, because Tubby was fantastic. Oh, my gosh, he buried him a little bit. And Cremins was fantastic. But
hopefully you were on before Cremins.
No, I was last.
Oh, no.
I was terrible. I said, guys, you know, Dave's a lot like me. He's well-known in unknown places or, you know, something like that. And I said, but I can't. And I used the example, and I did a poor job of it when I was at Kansas for the cancer people, because I've been trying to do for many, many years things there. They did a roast of Norm Stewart and Roy Williams. And 1,000 people in Kansas City. I mean, it was the biggest. Oh, my gosh. And Johnny Orr got up, and he said, you know, this is hard. He says, we're here roasting Roy Williams and Norm Stewart. That's like roasting the Pope and Al Capone. And all you blankety-blank people out there know who's who, too. And so Johnny hardly said anything about me, but he would have to. And that's the way I felt about Dave Odom. There was not a lot. I like Dave. He's been a good guy. We were both high school coaches in the state. He first got his head coaching job at East Carolina, called me to ask me if I'd be interested in leaving Carolina to go with him at East Carolina. And so I was terrible, but everybody else was fantastic. But there is a fraternity there, and especially that group. I mean, Tubby is a coach. Bobby Cremins is a coach. Dave Odom is a coach. And to me, that's a pretty high level. And I think that they would probably think of me the same way. So, you know, some guys I could roast and be really have a lot of fun, but not Dave Odom.
Coaching ain't for soft people, which is why coaches, despite their competitiveness on the court, have incredible camaraderie off the court. The older generation of coaches, they've always fascinated me because it's not like they got into this for the money. Salaries for guys like Roy and Kay when they got going, laughably low before the NCAA tournament became a multi-billion dollar made-for-TV event. It was the call to coach. That was the motivator. That was the commonality within this generation of coaches. And it's created these friendships. And the stories that these guys could tell would fill up a bunch of other podcasts if we had the time to do it. Take Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray. The guy would rather wear shorts on the sidelines than an Alexander Julian suit like Williams. And while they might not be into the same things, they're clearly friends. And Bray has seen a side of Roy that most of us don't get to see.
Well, I think he's an amazingly intense competitor, that he's such a good guy and such a warm personality that people may be fooled that he doesn't have an amazing edge and intensity, which he really does. But I think it's maybe hard for many people to see it because they see Roy as a warm guy, funny guy, a guy makes fun of himself, and just a good dude. But, you know, inside, he's a cruel competitor, and I mean that with the utmost as a compliment.
Uh-huh. And but do you actually get along with Roy?
I do.
See, I don't want to assume anything here, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have said to Roy, like, we're fake friends. We're quasi friends.
Yeah.
But I love pizza and I love beer, and he hates both of them.
Yeah.
Like, how is this even possible?
Right.
Like, enjoy yourself a little bit here.
He's,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's different.
He's different. Yeah, he is different. And he won't even drink any, he doesn't even drink any good bourbon, does he?
Right,
probably.
No, yeah.
No, he's a lemonade guy.
Pizza thing.
Pizza.
Come on.
Come on, you got to eat pizza. Come on, you got to eat pizza.
That's just he hasn't spent enough time at the Garden at a real tournament.
Well,
right?
You know, now that he's retired, maybe he'll pick up some bad habits. I don't know, you know. But he loves swinging that golf club, as
yes.
we know. And
yes.
and but I've loved him because, you know, on the road, we sit down on the road together watching a game. We don't end up watching much of the game. We end up telling stories and talk, and we end up talking about our mentors, mm-hmm. who were very much joined at the hip, Dean Smith and Morgan Wooten, mm-hmm. both guys that gave us chances when we were high school coaches. And you know, Mike gave me the ultimate chance then when I, you know, they kind of, so we, there's a lot of similarities there. I think we've always been joined at that hip. And I also think maybe we don't, at least publicly, don't take ourselves as serious as everybody thinks we should, you know. But I'll miss him. I'll miss the ACC meetings. I'll miss the games because, you know, we usually find something to laugh about before we try and beat each other's brains in.
Longtime Syracuse head basketball coach Jim Boeheim and longtime Roy Williams golf partner echoes the sentiment about his generation of coaches.
We used to go on trips together, play golf together. We used to be on the recruiting trail together, hang out together a lot. And it was different. You know, when we started, I mean, I was making $25,000 as the head coach at Syracuse. You know, we didn't get into this business for money. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with money. I coached for 5 years for nothing at Syracuse. And, you know, we just loved coaching. You know, we couldn't play. You know, you play until you can't play, and then you coach. Mm-hmm. And we've always loved the game, coaching the game. Mike and I, in the Olympics, we used to say, more than one time, we'd be sitting there at the end of watching LeBron and Kobe and Kevin and these guys, and said, we're pretty lucky, mm-hmm. you know, to be here, you know, coaching these guys and Carmelo, you know. I mean, it's just been such a great experience to be able to do this and to, you know, be in this game that we love and seeing players that, you know, develop and, you know, grow up when they're with you, go from where they can't even do an interview to being able to really do a great interview. And you see that, all that develop, and you just think, you know, we couldn't be any luckier. I think too many times there's too many people out there just say how terrible everything is. I mean, we've been so... There are some bad things, but we're so lucky.
Did you make a deal with Roy in New Orleans in 2003? Hey, man, if I get this one, you can beat me anytime you want when I join the ACC with Syracuse in 10 years.
I said the same thing to Roy that Bob Knight said, Coach Knight said to me in 87. You're going to win one.
Yeah.
You know, one day.
You gave him the speech.
Yeah. And yeah. I said, I'll tell you the same. You're going to win this thing. And he won it a lot.
Different. Notice that word keeps coming up, too. You'll hear it a lot when you talk to the likes of Williams, Boeheim, and Krzyzewski. Not that things are bad now. Certainly the money is great, and it's afforded them incredible lives. But you can hear it in how they talk about those days that a certain aspect of the camaraderie is missing.
You know, when I was started out in the 80s, you know, the amount of money, the salaries and all that you got paid... Really, you didn't do it for the money.
Mm.
You earned a really good living. You did it for the love of the game and the love of what you're doing and the camaraderie. And you developed different relationships during that time. And it's you really don't have the ability to do that to that level right now. Real quick, over the weekend, Cliff Ellis, who's a really good friend and one of the really outstanding coaches, he had texted me, says, you know, Kremens and I and Wes Robinson, Dave Odom, a few of the guys want to come to one of your games just to honor you. And I said, that's cool, but I wouldn't be able to spend time with you. And he said, no, you know, we want to do that. I said, well, why don't we just get together once the season's over? We got our wives and whatever. I'm not sure that that would be done now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was different. And thank goodness I was able to establish that relationship with Dean in the last few years of his coaching career and with Roy right away. And obviously with Jim Boeheim. And, that's not there as much, you know, and it's very territorial. And I think the money aspect of it has a lot to do with it.
Back to Pitt head coach Jeff Capel, someone who grew up immersed in basketball, whose father was a longtime college head coach and NBA assistant. Because of that, Capel has such an appreciation for Roy and Kay's outward love of coaching.
They genuinely have a love for coaches and a help. Like, there's so many things that people don't know that I didn't know until I started working there, because I saw Coach do it.
Mm-hmm.
I got the head job with USA Basketball in 2010. I was the head coach of the U18 team. I didn't know until 2016 that one of the major reasons I got it was the recommendation of Roy Williams. I didn't even know that.
Really?
Yes. And so that's what I mean. Like, these guys have done things for coaches that a lot of people don't even know about. And that's a part that's different, because their generation, they got in it not for the money, because you didn't make, they got in it genuinely for the love of helping. I'm not saying that the coaches now don't have that, but the money has changed it and jaded it a little bit.
Coming up next on the Roy That Dadgum Legend podcast.
An hour after that scrimmage was over with, I'm in the car. And Charles says, boy, coach, your boys ran their mouth too much. I said, I understand. I told them, shut up. But he said, we're going to get them tomorrow. I said, I know, but don't worry about it. So we went and played golf. It was a great foursome. Me, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, David Robinson, John Stockton. And we had a great time. I didn't think anything about that.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.